On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, is Jacob Chychrun the best defensive trade asset the Coyotes have? We will talk about that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As mentioned on today's episode, we're going to be talking about potential trade targets from the Arizona Coyotes as the Oilers have been tied to another Coyotes defender. We will talk about that a little later on today's episode, but we are going to start off with a little bit of Edmonton Oilers at the All-Star Game talk as Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Stuart Skinner are down in Florida getting ready for the All-Star Game festivities. We will talk about that in just a second, but also on today's episode, the Edmonton Oilers prospect report to wrap up today's episode. And one Edmonton Oilers prospect is currently taking over the lead in OHL scoring. I think you know who that is. We will talk about that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers. Thank you for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And where we are going to start off today is where a lot of the hockey world is, and that is in Sunrise, Florida, down in the Sunshine State? I think Florida is a Sunshine State. It makes sense. I always get that in Golden State mixed up. But Edmonton and or the NHL and some Edmonton Oilers All-Stars are down there in Florida taking in the Sun Rays, which isn't very common around North America right now, so good to see some Oilers and NHL All-Stars taking in the whole experience. This is a nice celebration of the game. You get all the best players into one game or one event, really. You get a bunch of fans to come down and put your sport on the spotlight or in the spotlight. And it's a fun time, and it really is. I know there's a lot of Grinches around the All-Star game going, "Oh, what is the point of the All-Star game? Blah, blah, blah." It's for the fans. It's for the kids. Take it in. You know, there's a lot of other things that you can be worried about in the game either way. But as mentioned, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Stuart Skinner are the three Edmonton Oilers All-Stars at the All-Star Game. Connor McDavid's sixth All-Star appearance, Leon Draisaitl's fourth All-Star appearance, and of course, Stuart Skinner in his rookie year, his first All-Star appearance. As Leon Draisaitl said, well, it might not be Stuart Skinner's first All-Star game, but only time will tell. Excuse me. Very interesting things to come out of the today was the press conference day. All the media people standing outside going, "Oh, what do you think about this? What do you think about that?" They propped them up against the beach backdrop, and it is what it is. But we got some pretty interesting stories and notes coming out of today, I guess. One of them being that Connor McDavid growing out his hair right now, it's a little bit, it's looking a bit mullet-ish, if you ask me. That has become, or that has now started from Connor McDavid, by a bet between McDavid and Dylan Holloway, where if the Edmonton Oilers won six straight games, he'd grow out his hair. The Edmonton Oilers would go on to win six straight. They are 7-0-1 in their last eight. So, hey, maybe the long hair may be helping out the Oilers. But either way, those are the nice things that you get to out of this type of weekend. You don't get the headlines. I know you have Bo Horvat there for the New York Islanders now, but you still get kind of away from hockey. You get those fun stories along the way, and just kind of tells you the story of where you are, where you're getting at today. Speaking of stories, though, we do have news stories coming out of the All-Star break, mostly just news stories around who is going to be participating in what event in the All-Star Game Skills Competition. And we got news with Edmonton Oilers, players in the All-Star Game, and finding out where they will be in the All-Star Game Skills Competition. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are going to be participating in the exact same competition. Both of them will be in the accuracy shooting competition. Connor McDavid asked specifically, or at least that is kind of the report or what's going around, that he asked specifically not to be in the fastest skater. He did win it 3 years in a row in 2017, 2018, 2019. Barzal won it by like a millisecond in 2020, and then Kyrou won it in 2022 for the St. Louis Blues. But McDavid said he doesn't want to participate this year. Makes sense. Probably, if I'm being honest, it's the one skills competition that really, or skills comp event that really needs a lot of actual effort. I think you could actually hurt yourself in the fastest skater, so I could see why Connor decided not to do that. But on the flip side, Leon Draisaitl, he didn't participate in the fastest skater. I believe he has done accuracy shooting before, but he did win the Premier Passing Challenge back in 2019. It was between him and Erik Karlsson. In fact, Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid both won their competitions that year. So, I don't know. You can't get a split champ. Maybe you can get a split champ. I don't know. We'll see in the accuracy shooting between Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. And Stuart Skinner is also getting into the action. He will be in the Tendy Tandem, they're calling it. Tendy Tandem. It is going to be all the goaltenders at the All-Star Game, plus five women players who will be participating in the event as well. Really looking forward to that event, too. You know what? I think the skills competition is very underrated. I enjoy seeing the skills competition. Hopefully, the breakaway challenge is going to be exciting as well. I think they're doing that as well this year. I really want to see them kind of expand that into kind of similar to the dunk contest. But either way, the skills competition goes on Friday, tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. It'll run probably until 8 o'clock. A little bit of fun. You gotta have some fun. I know the Edmonton Oilers are in the midst of their season, but you gotta have some fun in the middle of the season. The All-Star Game goes on Saturday, 5:30 it starts, but 5 o'clock Mountain Time, I should be saying. All this is Mountain Time. The festivities will get started and the pregame type of action. I don't know who's performing. I should have checked who's performing, because I remember Green Day did it a couple years ago. That was fantastic. But either way, 5 o'clock, the festivities get started, 5:30 puck drop, I believe. I assume it'll be the Metro versus the Atlantic to start off, because they're in Florida, but we shall see. Team Pacific has a pretty good team for them going. Of course, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Stuart Skinner from the Edmonton Oilers. Kevin Fiala from Los Angeles Kings. Bo Horvat from the Vancouver New York Islanders. Yes, he will still be playing for the Pacific Division. No replacement for him. He will be wearing, though, at the skills competition, I should have mentioned this earlier, all teams, all players will be wearing their reverse retro jerseys, but Bo Horvat will be wearing a New York Islanders reverse retro jersey, so that'll be very interesting. Kevin Fiala, Bo Horvat, Nazem Kadri from the Calgary Flames, Elias Pettersson from the Vancouver Canucks, actually from the Vancouver Canucks this time, Chandler Stephenson from the Las Vegas Golden Knights, Logan Thompson is the other goalie Philly for the Pacific Division from the Vegas Golden Knights. Troy Terry from the Anaheim Ducks. And Erik Karlsson is the one defenseman for the Pacific Division at the All-Star Game. Now, Matty Beniers was also selected to be in the All-Star Game. Unfortunately, did get injured. In his last game before the All-Star break, he was replaced by Chandler Stephenson from the Vegas Golden Knights. Unfortunate, I think, really, for hockey, because A, you don't have a Seattle Kraken representative, which I know Gary Bettman is not happy about. That is why we see so many. Well, you see every team represented, but except for the Seattle Kraken now with his injury. And tough to see. Unfortunate to see for sure, but, you know, stuff like that happens. But the other thing as well that's really unfortunate is that you don't get to see probably the future Calder winner in this year's season, I guess. Matty Beniers has been putting on a fantastic season, a fantastic rookie season. Got some games in at the end of last season, but has really, really stuck it out for one of the best teams in the Pacific Division, and he is a big reason why. Either way, let's wrap up the All-Star conversation there. As mentioned, the skills competition, 5 o'clock Mountain Standard Time tomorrow night, on Friday night, and on Saturday night, the All-Star game, the festivities get started around 5 o'clock and 5:30 puck drop. I assume against the Metro and the Atlantic. We'll never know. Either way, let's move on to some trade talk. Yes, there's still hockey that will be going on after the All-Star break and the NHL trade deadline still coming up. And the Edmonton Oilers are now tied to another Arizona defenseman. But no, it's not Jacob Chychrun. Who is it, and is he a better target for the Edmonton Oilers than Jacob Chychrun? We will talk about that in just a second. But first, today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We are really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they are the number one sportsbook in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that is even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet on Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to the point spread to who will score a touchdown. Now, speaking of the point spread, I was taking a look just before we started here, and right now the spread for the Super Bowl, for Super Bowl 57 between the Kansas City Chiefs and the, I almost said the Cincinnati Bengals, I wish it was, I'm sorry, I'm just living my dream here. Between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles, my buddy Daryl's not going to be happy because he is a big Eagles fan. Either way, the point spread for the Super Bowl is 50.5. So what would that be? A 28-24 score? That's not too bad. Not too bad. The over for the 50.5 is -115, and the under for 50.5 is -105. A tight spread, but I don't know. 50.5, you get a 28-24 game. You got Mahomes versus Hurts. I mean, you talk about those lines. I'm talking about offensive lines, by the way. They got great offensive lines. They got some great running backs. This Super Bowl is going to be fantastic. Either way, the FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe and secure and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That is FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Alrighty, let's move on to the desert, as the Edmonton Oilers have always been kind of tied to Jacob Chychrun. It's been the Oilers need a defenseman and Jacob Chychrun's available, and then the big kind of slide for the Edmonton Oilers happened and seemed like not inevitable that the Edmonton Oilers were going to make a move for a defenseman, but it seemed like it may have happened sooner than we thought. The Edmonton Oilers started to get a little better, but still Jacob Chychrun stuck around for the Edmonton Oilers either way. But now over this past week, the Edmonton Oilers have been tied to another defensive target for the Edmonton Oilers with the Arizona Coyotes, but also a potential bottom six forward from the Arizona Coyotes as well. The one defenseman target or defensive target for the Edmonton Oilers is Shane Gostisbehere. Yes, the former Philadelphia Flyer. In fact, in 2017-2018, Shane Gostisbehere got 52 assists. 52 assists in 2017-2018. That's within the last six seasons, really. But still, you may sit there and go, that may not be really sustainable, and we'll get more into it. But Shane Gostisbehere so far this year, 48 games played, 9 goals, 20 assists, 29 points. Now, the bottom six forward that the Edmonton Oilers are now tied to from the Arizona Coyotes is Nick Bjugstad. Now, Nick Bjugstad, I was pretty shocked to see, stands 6'6", 209 pounds. He has played 50 games so far for the Coyotes, 11 goals, 10 assists, 21 points for Bjugstad. Now, the interesting thing, he has that size, he has experience as well, but he's also scored 24 goals in the league before. He scored it with the Florida Panthers back in 2014-15. Yes, that's, what, 9-8 seasons ago? Fair enough, you can make that argument, sure. But that still shows he knows what it takes to score in this league. He is an obvious physical specimen for sure. 6'6", 209. He's got some size to him. But you still got to realize that Jacob Chychrun is a top defenseman in this league, and I will die on this hill. I think as soon as he gets to his next team, everybody is going to realize how elite Jacob Chychrun is. Now, with that being said, 34 games played for Chychrun, 5 goals, 20 assists, 25 points. Now, that's about 14 games less than Shane Gostisbehere so far this year, and he has 4 less points. So, there are a couple things that go into this. There's the possible cap situation, salaries, of course, how long you will have these players, what it will take to get each player out of Arizona. I mean, you're playing in a 5,000 seat stadium. I don't think it's that hard. But either way, there are a lot of intangibles that go into this. So I went back to two of my favorite tools over the last couple of months, I guess. The one being the recent player cards that The Athletic came out with. And they showed the percentile of what each player is sitting in certain statistics. So we will go through that. But we will also go through the goals for and goals against per 60 minutes at 5-on-5 and in all situations between these players. We will compare them to where they would sit in the Edmonton Oilers roster today. And we will talk about potential value and where who I think the best target for the Edmonton Oilers is between the three of them. Now, let's start off with the obvious one, Jacob Chychrun. As mentioned, 34 games played, 5 goals, 20 assists, 25 points. Not bad in 34 games. Not bad for a guy who's coming back off of a very difficult injury. Either way, you see the point totals, you see all that. And now, when you take a look at what he does compared to all the other defensemen, this is where you realize he's elite. Jacob Chychrun gets 91% or is in the 91st percentile of ice time in the NHL amongst defensemen. He sits in the 98th percentile in goals amongst defensemen and is projected to get 14 goals this year. He is in the 97th percentile when it comes to assists and is on pace for 43, or they project he can get up to 43 assists this year. His points is in the 97th percentile, where he has a potential of reaching 57 points. His expected goals is in the 100th percentile. He is one of, if not the best, player in the NHL when it comes to expected goals amongst defensemen and has the potential to reach up to 17. Now, we talked about the GSVA, basically the wins above replacement in hockey. So basically, how many wins a certain player will get a team. Jacob Chychrun sits in the 94th percentile in GSVA at 1.4 and has the potential to reach 2.6. That means currently, right now, on one of, if not the worst teams in the NHL, he has won them 1.4 games, which, I mean, let's be real, for the Coyotes, you don't want that, but has won them 1.4 games and has the potential to win them 2.6 games on a bad team. That's impressive, especially when you go and take a look at other players who are on really bad teams, guys like Gavrikov, guys like even, you know what, the Philadelphia Flyers aren't that bad, but I'm going to say Ivan Provorov as well, don't really have those statistics that will win you games like a Jacob Chychrun. Now, let's go to the goals for and goals against per 60 minutes. Jacob Chychrun, at goals for per 60 minutes at 5-on-5, would sit 10th on the Edmonton Oilers. I believe he would just be taking over Klim Kostin's spot at a 2.92. Again, this is at 5-on-5. His goals against per 60 minutes would sit at a 2.21, 8th on the Edmonton Oilers. So he would become a top 10 defender already for the Edmonton Oilers with the numbers he has from the Arizona Coyotes. From the Arizona Coyotes, remember, these are numbers from the worst system in hockey today, potentially. I mean, Dallas Eakins is still in the NHL, so maybe you can make that argument. But still, those are very impressive numbers. Now, in all situations, goals for per 60 minutes, he would then again sit 10th at 3.46 and would sit 7th at goals against per 60 minutes in all situations at a 2.52. On one of the worst teams in the league, he would be a top 10 player offensively and defensively for the Oilers and could potentially win them up to 2.6 games down the stretch for a playoff race. Okay. Now that that's out of the way, let's move on to the other defensive target in Shane Gostisbehere. 48 games played, 9 goals, 20 assists, 29 points. As mentioned, 52 assists, in 2017-2018. Pretty recent, and I believe that was his final year with the Philadelphia Flyers. So let's take a look at the cards that the Athletic has put out, the player cards. His ice time sits in the 92 percentile, so the 92nd percentile in the NHL. So that's basically kind of usage. He's being used a lot. Now, for goals amongst defensemen, he is in the 99th percentile in goals and has the potential to reach up to 15 goals. His assist is in the 87th percentile and could get up to 34. His points are at the 93rd percentile and could get up to 49 points here. His expected goals is in the 91st percentile and could get up to an expected goal rate of around 10. And his GSVA, his wins above replacement, is in the 54th percentile, so about league average, 0.3 right now, but could get up to 0.6. Almost half a game this guy can win for the Edmonton Oilers. On the baseline, doesn't sound very impressive, but you have to realize that these are winning. It's not like you're winning. Like a Connor McDavid isn't winning 14.7% of games for the Edmonton Oilers. He's winning a lot of games. If I'm not mistaken, it's about 6.7, and he is, I believe, the highest for this model. But again, that is pretty impressive. Now, let's go take a look at the averages of when he is on the ice. This is where maybe a little bit of the separation between him and Chychrun come in, but there's one little asset that Shane Gostisbehere does that kind of may separate him from Chychrun a little bit. The goal is 4 per 60 minutes at 5-on-5 is a 2.48, which would sit him 14th on the Edmonton Oilers. His goals against per 60 minutes would at 5-on-5 is at 2.88, which would be 19th. His goals 4 per 60 minutes in all situations would put him 11th on the Edmonton Oilers, just behind Jacob Chychrun at a 3.19. His goals against per 60 minutes in all situations is at a 3.15, which would be 17th, on the Edmonton Oilers. However, the one thing that Shane Gostisbehere does that Jacob Chychrun doesn't do is kill penalties. His goals against per 60 minutes would put him 13th for the Edmonton Oilers. Fair enough. However, you have to realize that the Arizona Coyotes' penalty kill is not fantastic. Their defensive game is not fantastic. In fact, when you take a look at their goaltender, Karel Vemelka's numbers, a lot of them have to say that he is saving a lot more goals above average than a lot of other goaltenders in the league. The reason being, he's a very good goaltender on a very bad defensive team, and Shane Gostisbehere is not a very bad defenseman. He's getting caught in a system, but he can kill penalties. He has in his career. He can play on the power play as well. I know that's not what the Oilers are looking for, but Jacob Chychrun is even more of a quarterback on the power play than Gostisbehere. You can get away with not having Gostisbehere on the power play more than you can get away with Chychrun not being on the power play. So there's a little bit of the trade-off there. I'll give more on who I think is the better option in a little bit, but I want to get to Nick Bjugstad here. 50 games played so far for Bjugstad, 11 goals, 10 assists, 21 points. As mentioned, he had 24 goals with Florida in 2014-2015, but let's start off with the player cards again. He's in the 78th percentile when it comes to ice time, 56th percentile when it comes to goals, with the potential to get up to 18 goals. He is a 37th percentile in assists, so his assists aren't that strong, even though he does have 10 so far this year. He has the potential to reach up to 18 as well. Could get up to 36 points this year, which would put him in the 45th percentile, but his expected goals for a bottom six player is at 52% at with 18, and he's in the 52nd percentile in GSVA, so the wins above replacement, with a 0.6, which is what Shane Gostisbehere is currently sitting at. However, he could reach a 0.9 by the end of the year, which would basically be a game one for the Edmonton Oilers by acquiring Nick Bjugstad. That is an interesting stat. By adding a bottom six player, you may be able to get a win. One win. Now, again, that it doesn't seem like a lot, but down the stretch, that is an extra 2 points. You pair that up with the potential 2.6 that a Jacob Chychrun could add to you, whatever, that's very impressive. Bottom six guy, you don't get that type of output, quote unquote, with a bottom six guy that often. Now let's get to the averages, and then we will give my opinion, I guess. His goals 4 per 60 minutes at 5-on-5 would put him 14th on the Oilers with a 2.56. His goals against per 60 minutes would actually put him 6th on the Edmonton Oilers and the highest amongst all of the Arizona Coyotes players so far. That is at a 2.05. Again, a really bad Arizona Coyotes team. That's very impressive. Goals 4 per 60 minutes in all situations, he would be 16th with a 2.39 and 18th in goals against per 60 minutes in all situations with a 3.23. Now, we mentioned the thing that separates Gostisbehere from Chychrun is that he kills penalties. Bjugstad also kills penalties and has a better clip than Gostisbehere at goals against per 60 minutes at short when shorthanded at a 9.99. Would still be 13th on the Oilers, but again, we have to pair that with how bad that team really is in Arizona. So that's not bad at all. Now, who would I prefer? Here's where my thinking goes. Now, Nick Bjugstad is currently on a $900,000 contract. under a million. That makes him very, very valuable, A, in the trade market. He is a UFA in the offseason, so there are a lot of things that go for buyers in this situation. He is a league veteran. He has scored 24 goals in the league before. He is slated to get up to 18 goals this year. So there's a lot of very positive things when you take a look at Nick Bjugstad. Now, the other thing that I don't really talk about with what the player cards also bring is what the market value for players are and how much that change is. Now, with the $900,000 that Nick Bjugstad is currently being paid, he is playing like a player who is being paid $3.3 million. His market value right now has risen from a $900,000 to $3.3 million. That, again, is a very valuable player. And you see that in where the market currently stands on Nick Bjugstad. Now, so I think the Edmonton Oilers should go out and add Nick Bjugstad. He is statistically a very good add. And if the Edmonton Oilers are looking to add secondary scoring and a guy who can kill penalties, Nick Bjugstad is the guy. We can talk about Sam Lafferty, but he does a different thing. We can compare the two of them as well down the stretch if you want to. But the real debate is between Jacob Chychrun and Shane Gostisbehere. The obvious thing is currently sitting with Jacob Chychrun is the elite, and Shane Gostisbehere is kind of the past elite. He used to be a fantastic defenseman, very underrated, and I think he's still very underrated. Shane Gostisbehere, by the way, he's only 29 years old. He seems older than he actually is, but he's only 29 years old. Shane Gostisbehere so far this year in 48 games, 9 goals, 20 assists, 29 points. Jacob Chychrun in 34 games this year, 5 goals, 20 assists, 25 points. We mentioned this discrepancy, I guess, in goals between, or points, I should say, between the two of them, in between the games that they have between them. But you take a look, A, at the elite numbers that Jacob Chychrun puts up in ice time, in the goals, in the assists, and this is all within the league. I'm talking about the percentiles, the 98th percentile in goals, 97th percentile in assists and points. He's playing a lot of time on the power, or just in general, he's in the 91st percentile on the ice time, and GSVA, he's winning 2.6 games, or potentially 2.6 games for one of the worst teams in the league. That says a lot. Now, Shane Gostisbehere's numbers on the other side are not that different, or not that bad, considering. I mean, he's in the 99th percentile in goals when Chychrun's in the 98th, 87th percentile in assists, and 93rd percentile in points where Chychrun's 97-97. Here's where I sit. Jacob Chychrun is under team, if you do trade for Jacob Chychrun, he's under team control until 2025 for another 2 seasons. His current cap hit sits at a $4.6 million cap hit and is currently playing at a market value at $9.3 million. $9.3 million. That is almost $5 million increase. Shane Gostisbehere is being paid $4.5 million and is playing at a market value of $3.2 million. So, yes, it decreased, but I'm not going to go, that's it, that's the kicker, blah, blah, blah. But what is the kicker is the fact that they are being paid virtually the exact same. Jacob Chychrun, $4.6 million, and is under team control until 2025. Shane Gostisbehere, $4.5 million cap hit, and is a UFA at the end of the season. I say you build for the future while also bringing in a player for this season in Jacob Chychrun. You can also develop and play your defensemen, or at least bring in defensemen around Jacob Chychrun. You can develop guys like Philip Broberg. I'm sure Philip Broberg is going to be untouchable. So Philip Broberg is still going to be there by the end of the trade deadline. So if you bring in Jacob Chychrun, you have guys like Philip Broberg, Evan Bouchard, Vinny Desharnais. You can keep going with all these young defensemen and even have guys like Darnell Nurse, Cody Ceci, Brett Kulak, and I wonder if Tyson Barrie stays. you can have a very good defensive outlook with Jacob Chychrun in the back end. Either way, let's wrap up the talk here. Let's move on to the Edmonton Oilers prospect report. Yes, I did just mention a prospect getting traded. Either way, none of these prospects are getting traded from the Edmonton Oilers anytime soon, because basically all of the Edmonton Oilers CHL prospects, not only WHL, because one player in particular took over the OHL scoring lead. We will talk about that in just a second, but first, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories? Then you gotta try Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little better this year. And if you're like me, where you want to eat healthier but don't want to sacrifice taste, because let's be real, taste is the best part. I don't care what people say. Then, man, I've got the thing for you. You gotta try Built Bar. Healthy is actually tasty with Built. Seriously, they are so delicious, you won't think it's good for you. It is perfect for your New Year's resolution. So what makes Built Bar so good? They are made with 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. Plus, they come in so many undeniably beautiful, tasty flavors. They're so great. They got churro. Man, if you put anything churro in front of me, I am devouring it. And Built Bar has done it perfectly. They got peanut butter brownies. They got coconut almond. It is unbelievable. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar, all while maintaining amazing macros. And that's even better when you're trying to eat healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar, with a whopping 17 grams of protein. So if you're like me, you're trying to eat better but don't want to compromise taste, check out Built Bar and Built.com. Alrighty, moving on to the Edmonton Oilers prospect report. We got some pretty exciting things to report in this Edmonton Oilers prospect report. And we're going to start off with the lad who just took over the OHL scoring lead. And that is who else but Matvei Petrov, the Edmonton Oilers' sixth round pick in 2021. He went 180th overall. And I think 31 other teams are kicking themselves at not selecting this guy. 46 games played for Petrov down in, I almost said New Brunswick. NB was in my head, and that stands for the North Bay Battalion. 46 games played for Petrov with North Bay, 21 goals, 48 assists, good for the league lead, 69 points, which he took over last night. Yes, he took it over just last night with a very important, very big game for him. 4 points in that game against Sudbury last night, which again took him up to first place with that 69 points. He's also second in assists, just behind Ty Voigt, who is a fifth round pick for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He is also fighting for the league lead in the OHL in points. But either way, Matvei Petrov just keeps going. The reason why I continually compare him to Pavel Datsyuk is because A, it was Ken Holland, and B, Pavel Datsyuk was a guy who was selected out of Russia because nobody was really sure about how committed he was to coming to North America. The Detroit Red Wings took a flyer on him, said, why not? Let's just pick him up, or they had a scout, whatever. They drafted him late, fifth, sixth round, I believe, just like Petrov here. And we all know what happened with Pavel Datsyuk. I'm not exactly saying that Matvei Petrov will be Pavel Datsyuk, but I'm saying the situations are similar. Matvei Petrov, in his draft year, not a lot of people were very sure if he was going to be coming to North America. He was having a very good season in Russia. Then they weren't really sure again. He declared for the draft. The draft came through. Nobody drafted him until the sixth round. The Edmonton Oilers took the flyer on him. Well, I guess 2021. Okay. Sorry, I said 31 teams. I went back going, was Seattle in that draft? Yes. Anyways, sorry. Now Matvei Petrov, only a couple of days later, I believe, from the NHL draft, was selected first overall in the CHL import draft by the North Bay Battalion. Ryan, and it has been history ever since. So Matvei Petrov, I always say he is a player to watch for, and he really is. His next game comes tonight against Mississauga, against Ryan McLeod's Mississauga Steelheads. Now, if you've seen Instagram, you've seen what Ryan McLeod has been up to recently. Either way, enjoying the bye week. Let's move on to the WHL, as Jake Chiasson is really excelling with his new team in the WHL, was traded at the deadline from the Brandon Wheat Kings to the Saskatoon Blades. The Blades are currently third in the Eastern Conference. 30 wins, 12 losses, 3 overtime losses, and 1 coming in a shootout. Now, in his 11 games since joining the Saskatoon Blades, 11 games played, 2 goals, 6 assists, 8 points for Chiasson. Really exciting to see. Now, he was a 4th-round pick for the Oilers in that same draft of Matvei Petrov, 2021, 116th overall. So far this year, right now, he is actually the Edmonton Oilers' second-leading scorer in the prospect pool. 48 games played, 12 goals, 24 assists, 36 points. A little bit of a drop off from 69 points, but that is very impressive either way. Now, he played Brandon just recently on January 31st, where he got an assist in the game on Saskatoon's only goal. Brandon ended up winning in overtime 2-1. They will play Brandon again in a couple of days or a couple of weeks, which will be very interesting. But the thing about Jake Chiasson is that he is a leader. He's very vocal. We know the story from earlier this year, him and his teammates doing that unbelievable act of kindness, and something that they didn't need to do, but took initiative and obviously saved a man's life. That is the off the ice, but that comes with being a natural born leader, and he is always talking. He is very well spoken, and now with the more publicity that Jake Chiasson has been getting, the more I realize why the Edmonton Oilers took this guy. Just a guy who's consistently in the rink, consistently doing the right thing. So really excited to see where Jake Chiasson goes for the Edmonton Oilers. Could be kind of an under the radar type guy like Ty Tulio right now for the Oilers in Bakersfield. He plays Winnipeg on Saturday, which is going to be an absolute banger. But on Tuesday, he is going to be playing the Edmonton Oil Kings. Unfortunately, not in Edmonton. It will be in Saskatoon, so he can't catch Chiasson in Edmonton anymore this season. But still, very good season for Jake Chiasson. Speaking of very good season, going from a first-round pick to playing for the World Juniors for Team Canada, Reed Schaefer is back with the Seattle Thunderbirds, having another great year. 32 games played, 19 goals, 15 assists, 34 points, has 54 penalty minutes for a third place Seattle Thunderbirds team in the Western Conference. 34 wins, 8 losses, 1 overtime loss, and 1 shootout loss. Now, in the last 5 games, he's had a pretty interesting last 5 games. 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points. It hasn't really been doing too hot recently, especially on the score sheet. His only 2 goals came against Lethbridge in those 5 games. In fact, however, that 1 goal, or those 2 goals, I should say, against Lethbridge happened to be, he scored 2 of the 3 goals against the Lethbridge Hurricanes, but one of them happened to be a game winner in overtime on a penalty shot. Yeah. Who thought those words would come out? Reed Schaefer scores the game-winning goal against Lethbridge. Thomas Millage didn't start that game, by the way. Didn't play that game for the Seattle Thunderbirds. I mentioned that because I think the Oilers should take a stab at him. Either way, Reed Schaefer gets the game-winning goal on a penalty shot. Now, since coming back from the World Juniors in 9 games, he had 4 goals, 2 assists, 6 points. Since then, 5 games played, 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points. So, little bit up and down for him right now. Maybe finding consistency will be the big thing for Reed Schaefer, but still not a bad start to his pro, we'll say, career either way. His next game is tomorrow against the Everett Silvertips. That one should be a good one. And the final prospect in the Edmonton Oilers prospect report has been kind of an anomaly in the Edmonton Oilers prospect pool. He signed his entry-level contract out of training camp and has been just a very fun player to keep track of this year. Was a 7th round pick in 2021, went 212th overall, and that is Maximus Wanner, who is playing for the Moose Jaw Warriors and is having a career year. 42 games played, 8 goals, 22 assists, 30 points. He has career highs in assists, in points, and is one goal away from tying his career high in goals. And that came with 9 goals back in like high school hockey. So very, very impressive year for Maximus Wanner. Very obvious in his development for him. So very exciting to see. In the last 5 games, however, 1 assist to his name. But his last goal was an overtime winner against Jake Chiasson's Saskatoon Blades. He is an exciting prospect. It was a beautiful goal, 3-on-3 overtime. Came in on the rush. He didn't have the puck, but he was one of the players coming in on the rush. He was found down by the faceoff dot. Rips it short side over the goalie's shoulder. He wins it in overtime. The Edmonton Oilers have a bunch of offensive talent, a bunch of clutch players here. Really excited to see what they do. Maximus Wanner, speaking of some exciting hockey, Max Wanner's next game is tomorrow night, and Edmonton fans, Edmonton hockey fans, I know the Oilers aren't playing right now, but the Edmonton Oil Kings are, and they are playing Maximus Wanner's Moose Jaw Warriors tomorrow night at Rogers Place, 7 o'clock. Yes, I know, I just told you to watch the All-Star game, but you got an Oilers prospect. Connor Bedard just sold out the Saddle Dome. Come on, Oilers fans, we can sell out Rogers for Max Wanner. Either way, let's wrap up today's episode. As mentioned, tomorrow is the NHL All-Star Games Skills Competition. There we go. That is going at 5 o'clock Mountain Time. It is going to be a blast. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl in the accuracy shooting, and Stuart Skinner in the 10D tandem. What a time to be an Oilers fan. What a time to be a hockey fan. And hopefully at the end of the skills competition, everybody will play La Bamba, baby.